This is Mike Strong and Hayes for HPPR's Radio Readers Book Club. The book is Poisonwood Bible by Barbara Kingsolver. The jobs of spies are justified by the stories they tell, even when the stories lie. Kingsolver's book starts in the Congo in 1959. It is not about spies, nor about the maneuvers of great states, though her characters' lives are changed forever by spies. So, a skimpy bit of spy background from me, and events which led her to this book. We need to start at the end of World War II. General Reinhard Gehlen had been Hitler's chief of intelligence for the Eastern Front and Soviet Union. Before and at the end of the war, he sold his organization to the U.S. as anti-communist rather than Nazi. When the CIA was created in 1947, in slithered the Gehlen Org. Thousands of ex and not-so-ex Nazis, lock, stock, and barrel, ready and prepared to fight communism. Alan Dulles slithered right in with them. The stock and trade for intelligence agencies were stories of threats from other nations, in particular the Soviet Union and communism. After World War II, the American fear of a Soviet invasion of West Germany provided an opening on several occasions for Gehlen to boost himself by falsely warning the U.S. of impending Soviet attacks. CIA covert operations carried out dozens of coups that most of us never hear about. And in the Congo, Mobutu ousting Prime Minister Lumumba, who the CIA saw as a communist threat. That is the type of expository plot detail Barbara Kingsolver purposely avoids in order to connect us with individuals caught underneath the clash of those state powers. The essential population that we'd never see in detail. It is into this historical context that Kingsolver drops her characters. She herself had been dropped into the same geography as a second grader, a couple of years after her Poisonwood Bible starts, when her parents, her father, a physician, traveled to Congo as public health workers. Kingsolver wanted to bring us into the sensory experiences of everyday characters in a living landscape in turmoil, never fully clear to the people in the middle of events. So she gives us a five-woman cast, a sort of Little Women for the Congo, with war and uncertain dangers, writing each chapter to cover a slice in time, with separate sections for each character to give her separate impressions of each other within the events. No voice is given to the two main male characters, the evangelist Father Nathan and the African Anatole, who will marry one of the daughters. Nor are any Africans given a first-person voice. Who she would give that voice to evolved as she found and absorbed contemporaneous magazines. Kingsolver states, quote, "On those slick, faded pages, I began to find the heart of my story, which didn't begin in the middle of Zaire at all. The story I'm entitled to tell, the one I needed to tell, was an American one. What we've carried into the world, what we believed, and what we might still learn." Kingsolver evokes sights, sounds, smells, fears, apprehensions, sensory calls to bring us into the personal world of those whom history and news media mostly forget, the people. Barbara Kingsolver's plot sidesteps the engulfing events and politicians. She places our verbal senses into ordinary lives, caught in the middle of vaguely understood geopolitics. Mike Strong, in Hayes, for HPPR's Radio Readers Book Club.
10,000 words swarm around my head, 10 million.